So as the house of Joseph grew in power, and this is where the church has to get to. We've got too many people walking around powerless. And there's things that give you power, and there's things that take power from you, isn't there? Yes. Sure. Sure. Why is it that, I remember earlier on, anybody have this one thing that you just couldn't seem to get rid of? I mean, God delivered me from alcohol the night I got saved, drinking a six-pack for breakfast, three for dinner, for years. And that night I got saved, never drank again. God set me free from that. But there was other things in my mind that I had to get rid of. There was thoughts that produced actions that were not righteous. And therefore, I would ask God to forgive me. And I knew he forgave me. And then 3 weeks later, I'd stumble. And then I would condemn myself for how long? Right? And that's the issue. How long will the church condemn itself when God says there is now, therefore? Now what? No. Tell your neighbor, say, All right. There is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Right. So if you're in Christ, that thought process, but the problem was I couldn't beat that thought process. You know, the act, the event, or the word, whatever it was over quickly. And then I would repent quickly. But then I would be tormented in my mind. And that's where I lost the power. I lost the power of my freedom because of thoughts in my mind. Because I didn't believe that God would love me because I made the same mistake for 337 times. Because the Spirit is willing, but the... Tell your neighbor, say, your flesh is weak. Right. It is. That's why we need one another. We need the word of God daily in our minds, renewing it. Why? Because what happens is when we renew our minds, we start to think differently and it drops into our hearts. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Therefore, we get stronger. And in order for the house of God to get stronger, the word of God has to be read in your house. Tell your neighbor, say, your house. Daily. Tell your other neighbor, say, daily. If you're not going to read the word, I cannot carry you into eternity. Because you ate way too much for Thanksgiving. All right? That's not my job. My job is not to carry. The only thing that we can do is bring the word of God and say, look what the Lord has done in our lives. Now, you're going to have to take that word and say, you know what? I know what happened when Joseph's tribe grew stronger, how they conquered their enemies. When you get into the word of God, your enemies start to fall at your feet. That's what happens. When you start to say what the word of God says over your situation, the enemy starts to fall at your feet. Because if there's one thing he cannot do, he cannot defeat the King of Glory. And therefore, since the King lives on the inside of me, I'm unbeatable. I'm unbeatable. Come on, bring it. Somebody want to try me out? Come on, somebody want to try it? Come on. You think you're big and strong? I'll stick Matt Crandall on you. I ain't going to fight you. That's how I win. God wants you stronger. But it's not by might nor by power, but by what? The Spirit. By the Spirit, says the Lord. So it's the Spirit of God who comes and takes the word of God and brings it back to our remembrance over and over and over again when we're getting ready to make that same silly mistake. So this morning, as we look at power, holiness is power. Tell your neighbor, say, I agree. It's a word that everybody's petrified of. Because when we think about holiness, most of the time, we think about where we failed in it. Usually think about somebody being holy, that means they didn't make a mistake. Tell your neighbor, say, you've made plenty of mistakes. We're all in this together. We're all in this. I see some husbands over there. Father, just bless them today. Heal their minds, oh God. Let them not believe the lie any longer in Jesus' name. But as we walk this out, as we walk out this life in Jesus Christ, We got to walk in such a way where we remind ourselves of what the Word of God has said. And that today, you know, as we start, I want to say thank you for coming this morning. There's a lot of places you could go this morning, right? There's churches all over the place. And I just want to say thanks for coming and standing with us and walking with us, as it's our desire to change the world through every life that comes through here. It's not about the leadership changing the world. It's about you changing the world. As the leadership, our only desire is that you believe the Word of God so strongly that when you walk out of here, other people are gathered into your house saying, hey, teach me the Word of God. Show me what the Word of God says. That's when we win. We win as a body when each one falls so in love with the Father that their house becomes a temple. It becomes a house of worship. It becomes a house of prayer. It becomes a house of discipleship. It becomes a house where we distribute what God's given us. Because he said that we're to be trained and equipped for the work of what?
Ministry.
Tell your neighbor, say, I'm a minister. Right, and for those that are new, that maybe haven't been with us, the word minister is a verb, and it means to minister, not a noun, which is what America has made it, a minister. So we are those that are to minister. Listen, if you don't have your notepad out this morning and don't write anything down, if you leave here with nothing more than what you came in with, then we have failed. See, our desire is to give you something that's going to change your home. It's going to change the way you think, it's going to change your heart, and then it's going to change your house. Getting up in the morning and praying over your children before they head out, reading the Word of God to them at night before they go down, speaking of the things of God. Holiness is about removing all the other distractions. It really is. It's about moving the distractions. That's the wonderful thing about God. God is holy, amen? Do you think he's distracted? Nah. He knows every thought you're going to have before you have it. That's how undistracted he is. He knows the words you're going to speak today before you speak them. He knows the words you're going to speak that you shouldn't have spoke. Yep. And what an amazing God is. He doesn't slap your mouth shut and the end of your tongue falls off. Isn't that good news? I'd like to do that to myself sometimes. But he doesn't do that. He knows they're coming, and yet he says, I know that if they'll grab a hold of my word, that they'll grow in their understanding, and they'll do that less. How many are speaking stupid things a lot less these days? How about angry things, unnice things? Yeah, prayerfully, because as a word comes, it washes and it starts to change. Because God said, hey, listen, if you'll agree with my word, he said, I'm going to change everything about you. For those that are watching online, thanks for watching. We really appreciate it. We know there's a lot of channels you could tune into, but we want you to know that we believe that you're the most powerful people on the planet when you walk in the Lord Jesus Christ through the Spirit of God. Holiness is the Greek word hagios, and it means the same in the Old Testament as does the New Testament. It means separated, consecrated, sacred, never ever to be used as unholy or in an unholy way. You are not allowed, now that you're walking in Jesus Christ, anything that is unholy, you want nothing to do with. Did anybody do anything that was unholy before they knew Jesus Christ? Lots of it. Did it satisfy you? Did it make you a better person? Was it a blessing to your family? How much did it cost them in bailing you out? And so God said, listen, I don't want you to walk with those thoughts any longer. That's all. I don't want those things. I don't want the condemnation. I don't want the fear. I don't want phones ringing in church. God said all of these things, okay? So if you haven't, just silence your phone, okay? It's the 21st century. We're going to get a new machine when you walk through. It just fries your phone on the way in. All right? And we have a sale out the back door, okay? We call the Bible the Holy Bible. You can go to the library. You can look all through the books, and there's not one other book that's known as the Holy Bible, the one book that's set apart, the sacred writings, the writings that will be used, never be used for anything else. And those writings are so holy and so powerful that even when a heathen speaks them, the power of God is manifested through his word. Amen? That's a powerful book. It's a book that's never been used for anything else except building the kingdom of God. When God spoke it and these men wrote it down, as each man, generation after generation, says the word of God, change comes into people's lives. It comes into their lives as they speak it too. They don't understand how holy the book of the Bible is. It is a book that when you grab it, you open up and your eyes gaze upon the word of God. Your whole being starts to transform. Your spirit starts to awaken and says, I want more of this. Oh, your flesh says, tired. But your spirit says, prop them open with a toothpick and keep them coming. I want these words that have changed you forever. There's nothing like the Bible. There's nothing holy or set apart or sacred or as powerful on this planet as the Word of God. Nothing will change you more than the Word of God. And yet the church has backed away and says, man's words need to change me. What's the newest, latest, and greatest word or commentary that man can bring? I can't wait to hear. I've got itching ears. Oh, I wish that we had itching eyes. That all they did was we sat there and we held our eyes open. We listened to it when we couldn't read no more because we couldn't get past the thought of how holy this word is that comes from the throne room of God, that takes one person out of darkness destined for an eternal damnation into a righteous relationship with the King of Glory, and the whole throne room is at their fingertips. One book does that, and one book alone. No other. No other. Revelations 4:8. It says the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, they only say one thing. What do they say? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. That pretty much settles it. The was and is to come, that takes care of pretty much all of time and everything outside of time. So no matter what happens, God's going to be a part of it. Amen? There's no place that where you slip by or slip out or slip through. It is him, him, and him forever. That's all there is. And one man said, I think it was Mr. Sproul, R.C. Sproul's. He said, the word is used as a synonym for his deity. His holiness and his deity are the same word. He said it reminds us that his love is a holy love. His justice is a holy justice. His mercy is a holy mercy. Knowledge is holy knowledge. And his spirit is the Holy Spirit. When God said he was holy, look at, there is no shadow of turning. God never tries to trap you. You try to outthink yourself. Do you ever do that? Sure. You want to do something wrong, and you try to figure out a way where you think you can get away with it. You trap yourself. God doesn't play those games. He does not tempt you because he's holy. He's never going to tempt you. It's not God doing that. Make sure that you just burn that into your brain. He will never play games with you. God doesn't play games. We play a lot of games. We walk in the church. Hey, how you doing, brother? Great. How's your marriage? Amazing. Where's your wife? She went to her mother's. Her mother wasn't feeling well. Really? Well, what's your mother's name? What's her number? Let me give her a call. Let me pray for her. Oh, no, that won't be necessary. You don't come in here with a face and make believe. How about we're just real? We're honest. Hey, honesty, that makes you powerful. Honesty makes you powerful. Dishonesty makes you weak. You know people who are just compulsive liars, right? I don't know, back in the 80s, it was that guy. Yeah, I'm married to Morgan Fairchild, he said. He was a compulsive liar. All he did was lie. The problem with lying is you got to be brilliant. That's why I'm not a good liar. Because you got to know who you told what lie to and what group you're in to try to figure it all out and keep it going, don't you? So honesty is the best what?
Honesty.
Yeah, it's not a biblical, it's not a scripture, but it works. For some of you that were told it was. God's holiness doesn't change. He never deviates from being holy. He can't. He never has a wrong thought about you. Isn't that good news? Your wrong thoughts about you, he doesn't have any. You say, oh God, I'm such a failure. God doesn't agree with you. He just waits for you to listen to the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is on the inside of you saying, hey, bite your tongue off, would you, boy? Don't say that goofy stuff again. Why would you agree with the devil? That ain't what God said. I can't do anything right. God just sits there. He's not going to agree with you because it doesn't line up with his word. And he's only going to speak over you what he said in his word. And he doesn't change because he's holy. So don't think that God gets into these word games that you get into in your head. You played them with your parents. You played them with your children. You played them with your family members. God doesn't play. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Holiness makes you powerful. And if we're not going to walk in it, let me tell you, I got to skip around a little bit here. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 9 through 11. We're going to go there quick first. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Tell your neighbor, say, I am righteous. Right. He said, do not be deceived, neither fornicators. Anybody have any idea what that is? I hope you do. If you don't, that's sex outside of marriage. Okay? Any kind. Nor idolaters. You worship your job, your money, your retirement, your house, vacations, clothes, shoes. I think about these athletes that have built rooms in their houses just for their sneakers. Yeah. Thousands of pairs of sneakers on a shelf. You can tell what they didn't have when they were a child and what they gave value to. Right? And then man said, sneakers, that'll set you free. Sneakers, they'll make you jump higher. Save up all your money. The more expensive the sneaker, the better you are than everybody else in school. Now, we don't believe that, but people are living it. He said, I don't want you to have any other idols besides me. I'm the only God that you're allowed to worship. You shall have how many other gods before me? No other. No other. He said, if you're going to walk holy, you're going to walk in power. But if you're going to be a fornicator, you're going to walk in weakness, and it's going to eat your lunch. If you're going to worship something else, it's going to destroy you. And he said, you're not going to inherit. He said, nor adulterers. That's any sex with anybody else's wife or husband in any way, shape, or form. Nor effeminate. Those are those who try to make someone else have sex with them. Nor homosexuals, two men, two women, agreeing in it, outside, it's wrong, not to happen, in the house of God. And now, unfortunately, in America, in the house of God, we're not supposed to say it. Pastors won't preach against it. It says it in the word of God, amen? So if it says it, that's what I'm standing on. Yeah, but it's not. You don't understand how it makes me feel. Don't care. How you feel is not the issue. I want to make sure that you don't go to hell. That's my job, is to preach the word of God. I don't want you having idols. Oh, I can preach on idols. Nobody has a problem with that. That's fine. Just don't get into them sexual sins, because now you're getting out of control, Pastor. Well, we're about to get more out of control. Nor thieves. If you're a thief and you steal, guess what? You're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. God is holy. He said, be holy. Don't worry, we're going to get through this and we're going to build you back up again, all right? That's right. I remember when Nick was, I don't know, about four, and he came home from his friend's house with a Mickey Mouse or something, or a Donald Duck, about this big. Was it Mickey Mouse? That stinking mouse has caused a lot of trouble in our house, you know what? He came home with it. We found it. Where'd you get that? It's Matt Voices. No. Oh, Matt Rice. Sorry, wrong Matt. It's Matt Rice's. I said, what? You took? Well, I liked it. Well, we have to give it back. Otherwise, some things that you're not going to like are going to happen. And so we had to deal with that. He was like, well, it didn't even make sense. Didn't register. I just liked it. So I took it. Just for a little while, I was going to give it back. Listen, if you think about deceiving people, stop it. Because it's making you weak. It makes people stay away from you. It makes people not trust you. We should be those who know all that we have need of comes from where? The King of Glory. Is there any lack in his throne room? Is there any lack for the children of God? Have you ever seen the righteous forsaken or the seed begging for bread? No. If you're begging for bread, see Lisa. We got a ton and a half we can give you before you leave today. We got a walk-in cooler full of meat. It's what God has given us, and we just give it to those in need. How good is God? Not only does he give us the meat, but he gave us the cooler. He said, well, listen, those freezers downstairs, that's not enough. Because I want to make sure that anybody that comes and has a need, I want to make sure you guys can meet that need. So I'm going to give you something to hold more. I like that. Amen? That's a good God. That's what happens when you walk in holiness, when you walk righteous, and you take what comes in and you give it away. See, there's certain stuff that God has given you. He says he's asked you to give it away. You've still been hanging on it. I want to encourage you this week, get rid of it. 'Tis the season to give it away. Nor covetous. No matter what anybody else is driving, no matter how many pairs of sneakers they have, no matter what shirt they're wearing, I pray that you don't covet any of it. What you have is more than enough, amen? Amen. If you don't think you have enough, come with me in the mission field. When we were in Africa, one of the first times we came home, my wife said, you know, honey, I realized why the African women have so much more time on their hands. Because there's not a lot of stuff to clean inside the house. All of that junk, the dust collectors, you know them, right? Every little knick-knack and thing that you place on all your shelves, all around the house, and all the stuff we have to have. So much that people now pay for a rental unit that they have, and they don't even look at their stuff. Got so much, but I'm not giving it away. Oh, no. I paid for it. This is my stuff. And he who has the most stuff wins. Not he who gives the most stuff wins. Because that's the person that's free. Nor drunkards. If you drink to try to plan on getting drunk, guess what? You will not inherit the kingdom of God. Nor revilers, starting trouble, nor swindlers trying to deceive people will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you. Look at your neighbor. Look at your other neighbor and just nod. Such were some of you. All right, we read all of those things to say these are things that make you weak. And then he says, such were, past tense. Tell your neighbor, say, that ain't me. All right. Because of the power of the blood of Jesus. And when we take the holy word and we read it, it reminds us. It reminds us. Your spouse is just right for you. Love them the way that Christ loves the church. Honor them the way that the Word of God tells you to. The finances that you have enough. If you would stop going in debt to have something that you don't want need. See, because God's always given us enough, amen? Amen. But people, it's never enough, so they go in debt to have something more. God says, I'll meet all of your needs. When our eyes start to turn towards those things, he said, such were some of you, but you, tell your neighbor, say, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of God. You were washed, you were sanctified, you were set apart. You are holy. You have been made holy. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. He said, I'm holy and I have made you holy. Now be holy. How do you be holy? Get in the Word of God. Enjoy the Word of God more than you enjoy Gilligan's Island or whatever you're watching. I don't know the newer ones. Yeah, the Three Stooges. They were my favorites. Every day before school. Every day. All of that. Everybody that's watched it knows. Instead of pouring that junk into you or your children, moms and dads, what are they allowed to fill their mind with morning, noon, and night? When they're out of school, how much time do they have filling their heads with junk that is unholy, unrighteous? And again, this is, there is no, tell your neighbor, say, there's no condemnation. We're talking about holiness, but some, when we talk about holiness, we're going to have to talk about real subjects here. Real things that we struggle with. Because God wants to remove them so they don't consume and control you any longer. He wants you to be, to understand how set apart you are. You know, God is set so far apart that he can't even be accused of anything unholy. That's where we need to be. Right? That's what it says leaders are supposed to be. If someone comes into your house, do they look around and say, oof, I didn't know leaders had that stuff here. I remember one time when we were in Greenville, I walked into a pastor's house and he said, yeah, just grab it out of the fridge, open it up, and there's a 12-pack. And I was like, Now, the Bible doesn't say you cannot have a drink. I understand that. But if I've got the Holy Spirit, I'm going to get filled up on him. Because I already did the 12-pack and the 24-pack and the 36-pack. And that was expensive to rent for an evening because that's all we did. And then I went home broke, and it didn't add to my life. And it didn't matter what country we were in. None of it added to my life. And I was just thinking, you ever go to somebody's movie rack? The Exorcist. Oh, okay. Halloween. All these other, I don't know. I only watched one horror movie my whole life, and it scared me so bad. I never watched another one. I hated them. Didn't even matter if I was going hunting with a rifle in my hand. I was walking out. And I'm listening. And sometimes I would hear noises and I would stop. And I would wait to see if they were coming closer. And I wouldn't want to turn my light on because you don't want to scare the deer. But I'm thinking, and then the stupid thoughts that I had back then was the devil can't be defeated because he always got up in Halloween and walked away. I want you to know the devil can be defeated. Amen. You have the authority and the power when you walk in holiness to destroy the works of the evil one or the enemy. I didn't think so in the beginning. So I would walk, sweat would be coming off me. I'm walking through the woods trying to be a man. I ain't scared. I got a rifle in my hands. And I know I told you before, but one night I went out there and I hear, I'm like, son of a gun. Whatever it is eating the whole animal all by itself. And the closer I got, the louder it got. And man, I'm hiding behind a tree. And I got my rifle. I'm like, what is that noise? It was just a beaver chewing on a piece of wood. It's like, filthy animal. I'm over there. I feel like Don Knotts and Mr. Chicken. Because of thoughts. How powerful have thoughts been that stopped you? How powerful are the wrong thoughts that stop? How powerful are the wrong thoughts that stopped you? Maybe some of you that stopped you from lifting up your holy hands this morning because of a wrong thought. Some, maybe you stopped singing praises unto your God with your lips because somebody lied to you and said, you can't sing. You can sing. You can sing all you want in here. Yep. Just wear a mask. No, I'm just. You can sing all you want here. Nobody's going to care. We all rejoice in the Lord. Amen? The masks do have a purpose. Rein it in, rein it in. Romans 1:7 says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. That word saints is hagios again, and it's holy. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm a saint. Yeah, look at it. It's not about some statue. It's not about somebody that died, was living right. It's about those that are living right. Amen? That's what the scripture says. Are you holy? Yes or no? Did God make you holy? Then he says that you are a saint. He said, "You're what is a saint? Someone who's holy, someone that is set apart. Tell your neighbors, I'm set apart. You are for good things. For good things. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 6:22. It says, but now being made free from sin, become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. And the end, everlasting life. Holiness brings boldness. Right? Because if I don't want anything from you, how free can I be? Right? If I'm not looking to get anything from you, I don't want anything from you. You walk into a restaurant, there's people sitting there. I don't care about their opinion. Right? Because it's only God's opinion that I'm walking to court, so I'm going to come with grace and mercy. I'm not worried about what they're going to say, their words. So I'm free. I want nothing from them when I want to give them everything that I have. All that God has deposited in me, now I'm free because I don't fear rejection. Right? When we fear rejection, then we hold back. Why would we be afraid of rejection? We know that the world rejected Jesus and it said it's going to reject you. So he said, look, I'm preparing you to walk in holiness. Rejection from the world is your friend. It is. It means you're walking in holiness. If you're not rejected by the world says, all your worldly friends, oh, you're the coolest man. Or the fattest in the P-H-A-T, sorry. Or whatever word they're using now. I don't know. What's the new words, teenagers? Not what? He's not youth pastor anymore. He doesn't know the new words. So when we walk in there, we're walking in, we need nothing. And that holiness, when we need nothing and want nothing from anyone because God supplies it all, gives great boldness. Great boldness because I'm not trying to get something from you. How much are we trained, even in the news? What are you going to get for free? How about in the election, who are you going to vote for that will give you what you want? This is the way that people are trained in the back of their mind, subconsciously in the news and everything else all the time. Get what you can. God said, give what I have given to you, and it shall be added to you. How much? Pressed down, shaken together, running over. That's what God said. See, when you take what you have and give, you're walking in holiness. Greed stifles the holiness of God in us. greed. We try to hang on to what we've got. This is mine, and nobody is going to touch it. It took me 3 days to work this hard to buy this. It probably, some of the gifts that you will buy your children and grandchildren won't even last till the first of the year. And they'll be broken. But yet we give our hard-earned money to pure junk. Why? Because I want them to love me. I want them to open up a whole bunch of presents because I never did. Whatever the reasoning is, we love to give. I love to give. I always want to be the one. I want to outgive everybody else in this room. Oh, you might give a bigger check, but then we got to go by percentage of what you're making. I want to be the one that outgives everybody here. Don't line up after church, though. I see some of you, they're already writing in mail-ins from their houses sitting on a couch. Our fruit is unto holiness, the fruit of our heart, the fruit of our lips, and the fruit of our lives.
Yes.
The fruit of your heart. Because if your heart is bad, if your heart is hard, if your heart is rotten, if your heart is dark, if you're still thinking on the old self, if you're still blaming everybody else, tell your neighbor, say, I'm done blaming you. Right? Because you're still blaming somebody else. We don't know who we are. And we're not walking in the freedom of the holiness that God has already guaranteed us. We see it in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 5, holiness in the Old Testament, right? Where God tells, the angel tells Moses to what? Take off your shoes because you're standing where? On holy ground. Anybody remember the name of that mountain? What mountain was that at? Do you remember? Yeah, Mount Sinai. Right. Now, if you went out there and you stood in that valley and you looked at all the mountains in that valley, none of them would look different. All the mountains were the same all around there. I'd been there. I was in Iraq. We went through the mountains. All the mountains, you don't know one mountain range from another, they all look the same. But then something happened, and it changed that mountain forever. The presence of God descended upon that mountain. God showed up on that mountain, and forever that mountain has been transformed. Even to this day, thousands of years later, everybody knows Mount Sinai, because the presence of God descended upon it. God said, this is holy ground. Wherever his presence goes and lives becomes holy ground. Tell your neighbor, say, that's me.
That's
me. See, when the presence of God came upon you, when you repented, repentance means that you're turning and I am not walking the way that I was walking any longer. I'm walking in a different way. I'm not giving lip service. I'm not trying to get out of hell free here by using Jesus Christ. I said, I'm sick and tired of the rejection. I'm sick and tired of the pain. I'm sick and tired of all that I was into, the frustration, the failure, the junk that I was in. Lord, I don't want to walk that way anymore. I'm turning, and now I want to walk according to your word because I found my freedom when you forgave me of my sins. And at that moment, you became righteous. Now, it's about renewing the unrighteousness here. Because that unrighteousness says, yeah, but wait a minute. I stole before and didn't get caught. It's Christmas. You see these dirt bags driving around and stealing people's packages out of their off their doorsteps and out of their mailboxes. Heaven, if I'll look down. I pray that nobody in here or online has ever driven by and even had that thought. Okay, now I can look up. Because you see, that's that thievery in here, looking for something for nothing. The teenager's over there going, yeah, hopefully none of theirs got stolen. That's probably what they were talking about. All Moses, when he walked on that mountain, before he met God, Moses' strengths had to be removed. His natural strengths had to be removed. In order for him to walk in the holiness of God, he was trained in the best education system in Egypt. He had the nicest apartment in town, by far. The best food in all of Egypt. Slaves anywhere he walked. Whatever he said was taken care of. 40 years to prepare a man for ruin. 40 more years to undo what man says success looks like. I want you to know, the holiness that God wants you to walk in doesn't look like what man is walking in and says is success. God's going to have to remove your strengths and bring you to a place where you need him, where he gets all the glory, where he's the one that is proclaimed, magnified, sung about. He's the only one whose name is mentioned. When you leave, after you got done teaching the word of God, preaching the word of God, praying for those in the hospital, wherever you go, when you leave and they say, who was that person? I don't know, but Jesus showed up and changed my life. You see, if you go to a conference and you want to be the one that you think you should be the speaker, you got an issue in your heart that God needs to deal with. Amen? If you're going to go speak somewhere and you're thinking about what you're going to make when you get there, there's an issue that God has to work out of your life, because there's an arrogance and a pride thinking that you need to be the one. He's the one. See, when it's no longer about us, he's going to have to strip us of who we think we are in order to allow him to be magnified through us. Amen? Holiness produces power. And some of these things in our minds, when you look at someone else, if you've ever complained about someone else's ministry, I know none of you have complained about me, I understand that. Father, forgive me for I just lied in front of everybody, but if you've ever complained about someone else's ministry and yet you've done nothing, it speaks of the insecurities, the fears. It speaks of the jealousy in our hearts, the darkness, where we've allowed some unholy thought process to consume us. God wants to remove this so that the church walks in power. You know who I want to be preaching? Whoever God raises up. Can someone stop you from being used by God?
No.
I can't. I can't have had people, well, Pastor, you never give me a chance. You can come in here any day you want and clean the toilets and vacuum. There's your chance to minister. You can come in here anytime you want and help set up decorations. You got to ask Deirdre. Don't do it without asking Deirdre, because she does nice stuff. And it looks very wonderful. Thank you, Deirdre and Garrett, for coming in. She could always use a hand. There's plenty of ways that you can serve in the house of God. Amen? And walk out your holiness. Pastor Tom, do you ever complain about people coming and saying, I want to minister. Can I minister to the kids?
No.
No? How many people a week come and beg you to serve in that capacity? Never mind. He's speechless. Tom, for the first time, has been speechless. He did not have an answer. Listen, there's plenty for everybody to do. My wife gets all kinds of people come up and say, can I sing? That's why we started handing out masks. No, but just kidding. But she does. She gets people that comes up and asks. And then we've got to find out where the fit is. We're getting ready to do worship downstairs with the little kids. Tara doesn't care. She was down there dancing in front of all the little kids, teaching them how to find freedom in dance. I'm sick of those little kids. I did that. Hey, I did my time in kids' church. I'm not doing that again. Unholy thoughts. Unrighteous thoughts. D.L. Moody said, if I could do it all over again, I'd spend all my time with the kids. Because they're the next generation. Do you see how sometimes we have silly things that we say and do and chew on? But holiness brings power. And I'll have to finish this next week. I want you to know, what is it that you brag about when people come around? And this is a question that you have to answer for yourself. I don't know. What is it that you brag about? Because that really speaks of our arrogance. It speaks of who we are at our core. It speaks of what we have done. Right? When we lift up our... Come on up, Chris. Come on up, Rom. Come on up. Anybody else? George? Thanks, George. I love you, George. When you lift up holy hands, the Bible says, you know what you're lifting up? You look at a man or a woman's hands and you can see what their life has been through. Can't you? Well, me and my wife went to get pistol permits. And they took our fingerprints. They said that 10% of the people's fingerprints on the planet are useless. Yep, hers are no good for a pistol permit. They're going to give her one anyway. If you need something, see my wife. They can't trace it, okay? But with... My fingerprints, they said, are useless also. Because the guy asked me to copy, he said, were you a plumber? I said, yeah, why? He said, because all plumbers' fingers are the same. They've ripped them to pieces from cutting copper, cleaning copper. You slice them so many different ways that your fingerprints are no good. We can't track you with them. And so, you know, whatever we're going through, whatever we're walking towards when we step out, you have an identity, and that identity is in Jesus Christ. What do you speak about? What do you brag about? What are you engaging in conversation about when you're home? When everybody comes over, when they gather, people that have never been to your house, what do you engage them with? Because it speaks of what we have given value to. It speaks of what we give value to. And my prayer is that you would give value to your salvation, to your redemption, to your filling of the Holy Spirit, to the power of God's word in your life, how it's changed you. Oh, that our conversations would be holy as he is holy. Amen. Holiness brings power. It brings freedom. It brings boldness. I need nothing from you. My God supplies it all. I want nothing from you. I'm not going to try to act a certain way to get you to give me, whether it's words of praise or whether it's stuff or a friendship. Because when I have a friend with God, when I am a friend with God and I come out of that time with him, this morning in worship or in prayer and worship when you guys weren't here, at 5:30, 6 o'clock, by 6:30, 7 o'clock, the room was just filled with the presence of God. I took that worship music and that song Rattles. I don't know if that's the name of it, but it's about rattles, right? Not rattles, but bones rattling. And I cranked that thing up. I walked outside to make sure it wasn't too loud going into other people's houses. And I just started walking around here, stomping my feet, screaming out unto God, because with me and him, everything changes when I'm in his presence. So whatever you're going to walk through this week, when you feel like you're being overburdened, just get in your car and crank it up. The kids do it all the time, don't they? They drive through town. They want their windows open. They want everybody to know, boom, 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 boom. That's all you hear, boom, boom. You can't understand the rest of it, but you know what boom, boom is. So you get into your car, crank it up, and enjoy the boom, boom. You and God worshiping, saying, Father, I need you above all else. I need you as my friend above anybody else, so that I am one that just pours out my life as Jesus did as a drink offering to those that have never heard. Stand up this morning. You are an offering to this world. You're an offering that God has created. Tell your neighbor, say, I lack no good thing. That's what the scripture says. How many times do you look in the mirror and say, oh, I lack? You look in the cupboard, I lack. Look at your car, I lack. You look in the out in your garage, oh, I lack. Look at your bank account, I lack. Well, you can walk through your life proclaiming that over your life, and guess what? You will lack. Because you'll have what you say, the Bible says, amen? Or you can say that I've been made whole and new, and I'm a friend of God, and all my needs according to his riches and glory have been met. I've been washed and cleansed and made whole. This morning, as we set aside the worldly thoughts. As we go into this holiday season, hearts are never more open than now. And they're waiting for the holy ones of God to come and to share the word with them. Not where you've been, not who you are, not what you've done, but what he's done. Because when we boast on him, oh, it stirs up the spirit in them. And they're going to want what you have. Amen? You're the light. You're the light. You're the light. You are holy. You are holy. You are holy according to the word of God. Be ye holy. Set the rest of it aside. Go back into Corinthians and read it again. Lord, what is it? Do any of those things stick out to me? Does the enemy try to put me back in bondage with these thoughts? Lord, deliver me. He says, oh, I'm a good deliverer. Lord, set me free. Oh, I'm a freedom-making God. And I can bring you to a place of freedom. Let's set that stuff aside and let's walk out the holiness of God, the purity of God, the majesty of God. Amen? And then I expect someone's life being changed because of the righteous ones that are going to be walking out of these doors to go and change this world. Nothing is impossible because you believe. Nothing, nothing, nothing is impossible because you believe. Ah, we appreciate you this morning. And we're so thankful. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved or how short you've been saved. What the word of God says, the power of the blood of Jesus has accomplished is complete. Amen? It's complete. You're not trying to earn it anymore. Enjoy it. Your salvation has been made complete. Now he said, walk it out. Each day, going back to the word, I don't want those thoughts of failure. I don't want those thoughts of junk. I don't want those thoughts of rejection. I don't want those thoughts of foolishness running through my mind anymore. Father, I want whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, I'm going to think on these things because you've got something majestic for me to accomplish today. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you, Father, for the peace that passes all understanding. And Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, we speak life and wholeness over everyone in here. Lord, every lie, get out in the name of Jesus. Father, let it be that your word fills every heart in this house. Your word says that you have made us righteous. You're the one that set us apart. We've been sanctified by God. Lord, you're the one that said you gave us your spirit, the very power of God, the spirit of God, to lead and to guide and to keep us all the days of our lives. You said you made a way for each one of us, even when the world said there's no way. Father, you said that you'd go before us, you'd be our strong tower. You said you'd go behind us so the enemy can't sneak up on us. You know he's coming, and you whisper in our ears, and you remind us, get back into prayer. He's coming. Let's go defeat him again. Father, thank you for setting at liberty the captives this morning. Each one of us, making us whole. Lord, we make a decision to look at your word and to agree that wherever we walk is holy ground, for your presence goes before us. And Lord, that our tongues would proclaim your goodness and your mercy. Our lives would be filled with life and life more abundantly. Our tongues would speak of the goodness of God. And when we leave, the only thing they would say is, I don't know who they were, but God visited me today. Thank you for the anointing upon each one in this room that destroys the yokes over the wicked. Thank you, Father, for your kindness this morning, your beauty and your majesty. What a time of thanksgiving we have had. For you have given much, and now much is required. We give you our lives today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.